It's HSK Today.
SC made by Patera with the right pad.
A weekly in-depth look at the Henderson Silver Knights.
Morelli left wing. Richard scores!
And the AHL.
2 seconds and one. The Silver Knights hang on.
With your hosts, Brian McCormick and Justin Russo.
And here we go on a Wednesday afternoon, coming to you live from America First Center. This is HSK Today. Brian McCormick and Justin Russo here, you there. Joe Costa on the other side of the glass as we talk horse hockey and get ready for the Silver Knights' final weekend of this six-game road February coming up at Blue Arena this Friday and Saturday against the Colorado Eagles. We'll talk about the challenges that this weekend presents, as the Silver Knights have had the unfortunate luck, it feels like, really, over the course of this February run, in which they have held serve. They've split their two weekends, but they have found themselves kind of running into everyone at their hottest, it feels like.
Oh, yeah.
Coachella's been going that way. They've been looking like the best team in the Western Conference for the last month or month and a half or so, probably. But San Diego, who the Silver Knights did handle, playing at their best. And now the Colorado Eagles have won 8 of their last 10 and knocking off some big names in the process as well. So that'll be a challenge this weekend. We'll discuss. Lots to talk about in our second segment. Mason Morelli having a fantastic weekend for the VGK and still up with them. So we'll have our latest installment of Silver and Gold. And then our final segment, it's tentative but hopeful, that general manager Tim Speltz will be able to join us as well, give us a bit of a mid-season check-in, if you will. We're past that point. We're actually did the math the other day, Justin. It only took me a couple of hours. We're about the 70% mark of the season.
Flying by.
Yeah, and but, you know, it's an interesting time of year. Of course, the trade deadline's right around the corner. That impacts the NHL teams, obviously, but also can impact the AHL teams as well. So Tim Speltz will join us, and we'll get a bit of a sense of where he feels this group is at. As where they are right now, Justin, is right on the edge of that playoff picture. And the most important thing the Silver Knights can do right now is win. And that's, of course, obvious. But every team around the league has games in hand, and we've discussed that at length over the last, really, since November, it feels like we've been having that conversation.
Yeah.
But Silver Knights right now, they've split the four games of this November road trip. That's holding serve. Now it's a matter of also, in the meantime, what teams do around them. And right now, last night's a perfect example. Last night, the Bakersfield Condors, who are right in front of the Silver Knights, they're 2 points ahead of the HSK. San Diego has four games in hand. They're 6 points back of the HSK and playing some of their best hockey of the season. So you need those two teams to cooperate. And what do? Well, last night they went to overtime and Bakersfield wins.
Yeah.
So that's the worst case
scenario. Get a point.
Worst case scenario. So for the Silver Knights, they need to win on their own. But at the same time, they're going to need some help around the league as well, which is why we've reached the point already of some scoreboard watching.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, they got a little bit of help over the weekend with Bakersfield losing a couple there. But
Sputtering a little.
A little bit. And we saw that a little bit with the Ontario Reign as well. A couple of teams dropping down as teams like Colorado move up the Pacific Division. But I think for the Silver Knights, of course, there's going to be some scoreboard watching. But to your point, the focus has to be 2 points in every game. And it doesn't matter how it's going to come, whether it's a tight victory, whether it's a blowout victory, whether they have to get it done in the shootout. You have to get as many points as you can because, as you mentioned, we've talked ad nauseum about the points or the games in hand that all these teams have in front of them. And while, of course, you start to see some of these teams slide in Bakersfield and Ontario, the Silver Knights still have some ground to make up to get even with those teams and surpass those teams. And, you know, hey, Ontario might slide the rest of the way. We don't know that. But the Silver Knights certainly have to take advantage of when these teams start to stumble and get points on their own.
I think Ontario is one that you absolutely do highlight because they've been in a bit of a spiral for the last the last 3.5 weeks or so now. They've won 2 of their last 10. They get Jordan Spence sent to them from the LA Kings today, so we'll see what that does for their blue line. But Spence comes to Ontario shortly after Brant Clark went up. And the way that's looked for the last couple of weeks, I don't know if Brant Clark's ever coming back down again.
No.
But Ontario certainly is a team right now that is 1 point ahead of the Silver Knights for that 7th and final playoff spot. They have 3 games in hand, but they're not winning their games right now. So that is a team that certainly can be highlighted. But it's not going to matter if the Silver Knights can't pick up points, and that's why this weekend in Colorado is certainly an important one. Against an Eagles team that's won 8 of their last 10, they've won 3 in a row. And they right now are knocking on the door of 2nd in the division overall. So it's going to be a challenging weekend in Loveland. But for the Silver Knights, you know, you play the calendar as it comes to you. For the past weekend, though, for the Silver Knights, it was kind of honestly very, very reminiscent of the weekend prior, which is to say, you know, they won a tight one in Ontario. and then ran into a buzzsaw in Coachella. Mm-hmm. Fast forward 7 days, they win a tight one in San Diego and run into a buzzsaw in Coachella Valley again. Mm-hmm. Which at least for the Silver Knights, they can take the relief in the fact they're not going to see Coachella again for a while.
No, and you know, one thing that's funny about the Silver Knights playing Coachella Valley is that earlier in the season when the Firebirds were struggling to get back to their form of last year, Silver Knights did take advantage of some of those matchups and they were able to pick up some points. So the overall season series isn't as lopsided as it could be given the recent results, and that is certainly helping the Silver Knights there. But yeah, really similar past couple of weekends, and obviously some frustration at the end of the game on Sunday against Coachella Valley. We'll talk about with Dyson Mayo and you know, that big loss there. But you know, the Silver Knights, we talked about how they had struggled in the opening half of back-to-backs, and they were able to piece together the second half, and it is kind of reversed as of late, where they, you know, they start well, but they've run into, you know, maybe it's a Coachella issue, where they just run into the Firebirds a couple of times and pick up a couple of losses there, but they haven't been able to sustain the momentum that they get in the first games and bring it over to the second game. So we'll see if this weekend is any different against Loveland, and finally playing the same team a couple of times. It's been, you know, different teams the last couple of weekend sets.
That's a great point you bring up, Justin, too. Maybe it's just a Coachella thing, which is to say the Silver Knights are not the only team right now that's noticing, boy, is this Firebird team tougher than they were in November. It's a team that just flat out is playing mm-hmm. better. They've found their stride. Whatever Calder Cup hangover may have been has come and gone, and, yep. and it's a team that's just good right now. And, you know, Ryan Craig, when he heard his post-game comments from Saturday, he was basically saying, I thought we had a good start, thought we had a good first period, and they did. And then in the second period, Coachella scores three goals in a span of, it's probably 3.5 minutes,
yeah.
roughly, somewhere thereabouts. And you know, from that point, not only are you chasing the game, but you're chasing a game that's pulling away from you still. Mm. And you know, right now, Coachella is just good. And
yeah.
eventually, it, you know, in March, February, you can say, hey, that's a good team. You tip your cap. Fine. To get to where you want to go, eventually you need to find a way to match up and to overtake that. Fine. We'll deal with that down the road. But for the here and now, the Silver Knights played a really good game against a struggling Ontario team, rewarded with points. Played a really good game against San Diego. I'd like to focus more on that.
Yeah.
The two outliers are two games against the same team that looked exactly the same. So this Colorado weekend actually can be pretty informative. Is Coachella really, really good, and it's going to be hard for anyone to match up? Or are the Silver Knights doing well against teams that are around
them?
That
they should be.
And not the same result against Colorado. To look at the San Diego example, the Silver Knights got 2 points in San Diego because that was one of the best defensive efforts we've seen from them all season long.
Yeah.
And that's where the addition of Caden Korzak and Tobias Bjornfoot is glaringly beneficial.
And we saw late in that game when they needed to protect a lead, who did Ryan Craig throw out there?
Together.
Caden Korzak and Toby Bjornfoot. They both were out there. He wanted that NHL experience out there to defend that lead. And, you know, I think for the Silver Knights, too, it was so important, even though they gave it right back, was the power play goal from Sheldon Rebel, because it built that lead. It gave them a little bit of breathing room to allow a goal like that from Tyson Hines, where it did just kind of bounce in. You know, it went in off a couple of guys. You're going to get that puck luck at some point in the game. But they had built that extra goal in as an insurance marker, and they were able to withstand that goal and get out with a win in San Diego. So just little things like that in terms of extending the lead and, you know, withstanding some of those pushes. And, you know, it was a strong San Diego push early in the game, and that one that they withstood as well before Gage Quinney scored. So for the HSK, a really solid defensive win, as you mentioned, over a San Diego goals team that's really surging in the Pacific.
But let's pivot, because as you mentioned, the game winner, you got to score goals to win, and the game winner in that game is scored by the guy who has been not only the most dependable offensive resource for the Silver Knights really for most of the season, but certainly for the last, you know, 6 weeks or so, and not just overall numbers, but in the moments when you need to have it, is Sheldon Rempel. His game winner on Saturday in San Diego sounded an awful lot like this. Korzak curling back in his own end, works his way ahead to his own blue line, dropped it back. Denisenko gives for Rempel with speed over the San Diego line, right wing. Sheldon Rempel drives to the net, he scores! Sheldon Rempel with speed on the right wing got below the circle and brought right to the front to power it through. So Canuck gets a power play goal, and the Silver Knights have a 2-0 lead. And that would hold up. That would be the game winner. And you know, it's been so satisfying, really, watching Sheldon Rempel, is that now, again, his bona fides as a goal scorer in the American Hockey League are well credentialed. It's not new.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, we talked to Yuri Patera after that game, and we, you know, we asked him about seeing Rempel not just produce, Coming through when he's coming through, and he says, I don't think it's a secret anymore. Sheldon Rempel is one of the best goal scorers in this league. I believe that. But he's playing, I almost want to call it angry. You know, so he had 33 goals 2 seasons ago in Abbotsford. That's the high water mark.
Yep.
He had 25 last year in a very, very effective year, but just wasn't as explosive as Abbotsford was. In a different environment, too. It wasn't a Silver Knights team that played particularly well. He's got 22 goals now, and that's in 25 fewer games than his 25 last year. He'll score from the perimeter. He's got a terrific wrist shot. We see it on the power play when he's playing his strong side. But that goal against San Diego, he just drove baseline and just forced his way to the front. He's playing with a mentality of, I'm going to take it away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very impactful for the Silver Knights, that they have someone that has the ability to take over shifts.
Yeah, and he's become one of those guys that you look to when it's a tie game or you're down and you need a goal. And you say, all right, well, looking around, who's going to get it for us? And the first guy you look to is number 56, because he just has a knack for scoring at those times. And as you mentioned, that goal in San Diego was beautiful. I mean, he just drives right around the defense and gets it by Sukanik. And, you know, I think we had talked a couple of weeks ago about, you know, sort of the mentality when guys get called up and brought back down of, okay, how do you handle that, right? Is it, man, you know, I missed my chance at the NHL if I got sent down? Or is it, okay, I'm going to prove myself here and I'm going to force them to give me back an NHL opportunity? And I think that's the mentality that Sheldon Rempel has had, where he's been so productive down here, and we've seen some call-ups for him. Played in the Minnesota game for the VGK as well. You know, he's a guy on Bruce Cassidy's list to say, okay, you know, someone's out. Sheldon Rempel's right here, and he's been noticed by that coaching staff at the NHL level, and I think, you know, as he continues to score and produce at this level, it's just going to continue on here for the VGK as well.
And you bring up a great point, Justin, that, you know, some players go up to the NHL, they come back, and nobody comes back negatively, right? I mean, if you've been up there for 5 seasons, you get sent down, maybe you take that negatively. But if you go up, you get an opportunity, you make something good happen while you're up there, and you come back, usually you're going to come back and say, okay, I have that in me, I have that capability, and at the same time, we see this with Kaiden Korzak. He's been an NHL player. I think everyone believes he is an NHL player. Right now, the numbers aren't there for the VGK roster. But he looks like an NHL player playing in the AHL right now. Mm-hmm. Not someone that is, hey, he's making strides. He's making a leap. It might be time for him to graduate. Now it is, okay, when the time comes, he's ready to go because he is dominating when he's out there right now. For Sheldon Rempel, similarly, he doesn't have an attitude of like, okay, I'm putting up good numbers. I can contribute here. It's, we need one, I'm going to get it. That's the difference.
Yeah, it's been so impressive for him this season. As you mentioned, the numbers last season coming in, his first year with the HSK, and he's just blossomed this year into an explosive goal scorer. And, you know, we talked about the power play numbers as well. He's already tied for the most power play goals in Silver Knights history in a single season with Gage Quinney, who had 10 last year, and now he's already got 10 with, however, 30% of the season to go, however many games you were calculating earlier. But it's just so impressive where, you know, you talk about that power play specifically, too, how much it's grown over the last season, the top-ranked power play in the AHL for much of the last month or so, and he's a big reason because of it, because he's the guy that whenever you get on that extra, or whenever you get the man advantage, you just know that he has a knack for scoring, and if you're going to get a power play goal, it's likely to come off of his stick.
9 goals and 12 points for Sheldon Rempel over the course of his last 8, and again, just absolutely rolling along for the Silver Knights. Silver Knights have also gotten better, also been able to lean upon Gage Quinney of late. He's about a point per game player over the last dozen or so. It's been quieter than Sheldon Rempel, but it's been consistent.
Yeah, and those two on that line, especially since Brendan Brisson got back as well, they've been really productive. We saw Gage Quinney with that 2-on-1 goal where he looked off Brendan Brisson and fired a beautiful shot to get a goal recently. And, you know, he again, quiet for him in the midst of Sheldon Rempel, who seems to score every single night. That's the bar, I guess, for the HSK right now. But Gage Quinney is a guy that has been relied on for the Silver Knights to produce, and he continues to produce for the HSK.
Now, we'll wait and see what the implications are because, again, as we mentioned, the Silver Knights have very regularly had personnel up and down. Right now, Mason Morelli is up. We're going to talk about that at length. But the Silver Knights also currently without Grigory Denisenko. That's a big absence. They've gotten back Jonas Rombjerg and Byron Fraze. But last night for the VGK against the Nashville Predators, we saw, you know, held our breath for a moment when William Carlson disappeared for a shift. Mark Stone, of course, left the game in the third period, still waiting to see what that looks like. There was
Keegan Kolesar left you. Momentarily after blocking a shot, ended up coming back as well.
So there are a couple of instances last night where you're holding your breath like, okay, what upward trickle could this create? And there very well may be that case. So we'll see what the roster looks like when it goes to Colorado this weekend. But one player the Silver Knights know they're going to be without for the next two games is Dyson Mayo, who had a heavy hit on Cole Lind in the third period. Lind left the game but then came back, which might have lightened some of the discipline on Dyson Mayo as well. But two-game suspension for Dyson Mayo. When it happened, Justin, I think you all thought, okay, there might be a phone call on this one after the fact. There was. And even with Bjornfoot and Korzak currently in the fold for the Silver Knights, and Leighton Ahak and Daniel Chiga playing some of their best hockey of the season right now, I think that's still a big absence when you're going to face not only a Colorado team that is playing very well, but you're also playing in an atmosphere that you need to be able to go through all six defensemen. Missing a guy like Dyson Mayo is significant.
And one thing about this Eagles team, too, is they're right up there with the Firebirds in shots per game. They'd love to get volume on net. They're second behind Coachella Valley in that metric. So Dyson Mayo, a guy that's been so consistent this season for the HSK, he's just a guy that's always there, right? You can always count on him to play big minutes in any situation, and that's going to be a big loss for the HSK. But, you know, we'll see what they're able to do against Colorado. And to your point, when the hit happened, I think we all kind of had a thought in our head as to what could happen. And, unfortunate loss for the HSK over the weekend, but we'll see if they can rally and, as good of time as any, I'd say, probably on the back end with a couple of NHLers in Caden Korzak and Toby Bjornfoot there. So we'll see if they can withstand that.
Like you said, Justin, it's a team that's right up there with shots on goal per game, which is to say, what's it like playing in Colorado? Well, they're always coming at you and you can't breathe. So it's going to be certainly a challenge.
At the altitude, no less.
Certainly a challenge, and then we'll see what the Silver Knights can do in response for, again, a weekend where if they can get a split, that'll be a successful weekend. But they're at a point in the season now, they're going in there, they want four.
Yeah.
They don't mathematically need four yet, but you got to start stringing some points together, and we'll see if the Silver Knights can finish February on that kind of strong note. We'll hop out, but when we come back, we're going to turn to silver and gold, and a great topic for Mason Morelli, who got his first NHL goal in his first NHL game. We will discuss. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you on HSK Today on 1230 The Game, the Silver Knights Radio Network.
And now, back to HSK Today with Brian McCormick.
Back on HSK Today, Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you, talking Silver Knights and Colorado Eagles this weekend to come. It was actually fun this morning, Justin. Kiki Downey is the digital content coordinator for the Silver Knights. So anytime you go on the Silver Knights social channels, you'll see some of the fun questions of the day, the gimmicks that they'll do. And she did one this morning. I don't want to, spoil the entire thing. I'm not, but it's a fun concept where it's so crazy. I get this all the time, Justin, the generational divide between people that I'm not that much older than. if me and my father have a difference, a different memory of events or whatnot, then that's to be expected. Or, if he thinks Bobby Orr is the best player ever and I think Mark Messier, we both saw different things at different times.
Yeah, yeah.
Fine. But I'm not so old. So I'm 34 years old. 34. I'm not so much older than most of these guys that we shouldn't at least recognize the same people.
Yeah.
Kiki printed out a bunch of headshots of former NHLers, but prominent ones, not obscure people. Prominent ones, and held them up to players and says, who is this? Who is this? Who is this? It was stunning to me who some of the players could not recognize. Why are you bringing that up, Brian? Well, as we were going through that, I thought to myself, I assume everybody would recognize a Jaromir Jagr headshot because, first of all, it's not that far removed. And second of all, in a way, it's not that removed at all because he's still playing over in the Czech Republic. But it got me thinking of that just because this weekend, and you're a Pittsburgh guy, the Jaromir Jagr jersey retirement in Pittsburgh, that was really, really cool. Not just as much as any jersey retirement is, but everything else that went into that, having Jagr go to practice, having him take part in warm-ups.
So good.
They went all out, and they did a really good job.
I was ready for him to sign a contract at that point. He was practicing. He got the warm-up in. I figured, they might stick him on the fourth line at this point. So, it was a great ceremony. The mullet, though, you got to recognize the mullet at the very least, I think. But
I would have thought that he would have grown it out. He's known this was coming for a while. He could have grown it back.
Very true. But, well-deserved honor for a guy that was instrumental in those two Penguins Cups in the early 90s. And, up there with 66 now, as he should be.
And, of course, there were a dozen jokes in the course of that speech that he gave that that brought the house down. But the best by all, the best joke was when he referenced his girlfriend, whose name I don't remember. But it's
Dominique, I believe.
Dominique, I don't think she's listening. But, you know, and he said, she's too young to remember that I played in Pittsburgh, but I told her all the stories, so it's okay. And everyone just lost it. And it just made me think again, like, we should show her headshots and see who she can recognize. Who's that? That's Jaromir. But
one of the things, too, about that I found so funny is they played a lot of old videos of him when he arrived in Pittsburgh and, you know, broken English, barely even spoke the language. And they said they took him shopping for clothes, and the first thing he wanted was a denim jacket and denim jeans. He was all in on the American culture. Yeah. He just wanted to look American. And Phil Bork, one of the former players, said, you know, one time he was at Yager's car after practice, and he opened the glove box. He said there must have been about 50 speeding tickets in that thing, and he said he was just going wild back then during his playing days in Pittsburgh. But super fun, and yeah, a great ceremony for him.
Really cool, really fun, and you start to realize again, you know, at my advanced age, more players that you watched growing up are reaching the point now where they're going to have ceremonies like that, and just it's nice to see it done well, and also acknowledging, like, you know what, there's going to be a fun little nostalgia kick like this. You get to relive the 90s a little bit every season once or twice. So anyway, that was fun. Let's go from nostalgia and looking way, way back to the immediate presence and a really, really fun in many ways, I think for some people, probably maybe inspirational isn't the right word, but it's good to see hard work rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw that with Mason Morelli this past weekend. It is our latest installment of Silver and Gold.
Silver and gold, silver and gold. Everyone wishes for silver and gold. How do you measure its worth? Just by the
Silver and Gold, where we discuss Silver Knights making a positive impact for the VGK. There have been plenty of installments for that over the last month and a half or so. But the most recent, Mason Morelli, who in his first NHL game scored his first NHL goal. It sounded like this.
Knights win the draw. Martinez to the right, Petrangelo to the middle. Morelli scores! Quick stick for Mason Morelli! A goal in his NHL debut. The Knights take a 3-0 lead. Mason Morelli, a power play goal. Morelli, who has spent 239 games in the AHL, 16 games in the ECHL, and his first NHL game. The 28-year-old from Minot, North Dakota, scores a goal to give the Knights a 3-goal edge. What a celebration.
Well, that was Mason Morelli's first NHL goal, his first NHL period. And, you know, and of course, the audio, the great Dan Duva. And, you know, Dan always brings great energy to the broadcast. And at the same time, in a game against San Jose, that was a goal that made 3-0. Just the and you sit right behind him during home games, mm-hmm. Justin, so you understand his cadence as well as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear in his voice just a little extra oomph,
mm-hmm.
which the point of which is even someone who is so professional and on top of his emotions and you know, he's called the biggest moments in VGK history, you can always hear in a broadcaster's voice the humanity of anyone would recognize, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's neat. And you could hear it in Dan Duva's voice. Not only is it a goal, not only does it give the VGK a 3-0 lead, but there's also a little bit in his voice of, how cool is that?
Yeah, and, you know, I'd spoken to Dan about that as well. And just, Mason's one of those guys that, you know, you just want him to succeed. He's such a hardworking guy, such a great guy. Of course, we've had him on HSK today, and, you know, he is so generous with his time with us in terms of whatever we need him for on the broadcast side of things. And he also had a great interview with Dan before the game that you can listen to on the Golden Knights SoundCloud page. And Dan joked about it during the broadcast. It was about 17 minutes long. It's like twice as long as his normal pregame interviews, because Mason just went on, and they had conversations before and after, and just happy to be there and happy to see him get rewarded. He had a ton of family there in San Jose. It was cool to see them make it out. His girlfriend Sydney wasn't able to make it. She made it to the game yesterday against Nashville, so she at least got to see him play in that one. But a really cool moment, and super excited for him.
It's So, and again, as you mentioned, of course, Mason Riley's been with the Silver Knights throughout the season, and we had him on this program. We had him on this program when he was injured. And not a significant crazy. A couple of weeks, and he was working his way back, but you just hear the urgency and the eagerness in his voice of how he didn't like being unavailable to help. But this is a guy who does not like talking about himself all that much. But you look at the track record of his career. Grew up in North Dakota. Played junior hockey in North Dakota. Left North Dakota to go to the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Played 4 years there. Was a captain. And then after that, I think he signed... I think he signed three different... I think they were all AHL contracts. But he didn't sign an NHL contract until this past summer.
Yeah.
At 27 years old, that was his first NHL contract after having played in the ECHL with Kansas City, in the ECHL with South Carolina. Short stints, but there nonetheless. You know, if you're in the ECHL in any degree as a forward, usually it's not just because there's a roster glut and they can't fit you up there. It's because you got stuff you got to work on. You needed to be down there for either conditioning or to round something out. But he had to really grind to establish himself as an everyday AHLer. And you can say in 21-22 with Hershey is where he was really, truly an everyday AHLer for the first time. 33 points. The following season, which was last year, 41 points. A phenomenal Calder Cup final, and he gets a ring for it. It's just been a steady, upward progression of someone who, A, sticks with the program and sees his opportunity, but, B, understands there's... I can get better at the age of 25. I can get better at the age of 26. Mm-hmm. And makes his NHL debut at 28 and makes an impact. Two-point night. It's a really, really good story of, I don't want to say diamond in the rough, because he's been highly regarded everywhere that he's been, but that you're never a finished product.
Exactly. And, you know, talking about that first game with the VGK, you know, he was brought here to this organization because of that championship experience last year with Hershey and going all the way and winning that Game 7 in Coachella Valley. And he came in, and I think what a lot of the guys noticed on the team, at least on the VGK side of things, was that he was kind of just plug and play. He was ready to go. They knew what kind of effort they were going to get from him. Bruce Cassidy talked about the fact that he's a guy that knows that everyone has to play a role. And he's not just going to go up there and think he's going to be, you know, I'm going to turn into Jonathan Marchessault because I'm with the VGK now. He knew his role. He played his role. And when he had his opportunity on the man advantage, he took advantage of it. And just a great guy and a great fit for those couple of games. Hopefully he can get some more time here. Obviously, you know, not great news forward-wise for the VGK with injuries, but, of course, that creates more opportunity for some of our Henderson regulars to get a greater role with the VGK.
2 points in two games. He played last night as well, and a +1 rating as well. This is the audio from his interview. This was after his game in San Jose, his NHL debut. This was what ran on VGK socials, but here's what Mason Morelli's post-game comments were.
Just like you drew up your NHL debut, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it went pretty well. Those guys made it pretty easy in the locker room. Good group of guys, and they were very welcoming. And, it was awesome. It was a special moment. My family was here, so it was pretty cool.
What was that feeling like when you buried that pass from Petrangelo?
I didn't see it go in right away, and then once I knew it was in, it was pretty cool. We were hooping and hollering a little bit, so it was a special moment for sure. Got to see the replay of my family too, and that was it was just hard to put into words. It's pretty special.
Who'd you have here tonight?
I had my mom and dad, brother and sister, and then my cousin and my aunt and uncle, and a few of my buddies flew down too. So
it's been a long road to get here. How much does it mean to be able to get on the ice first time in NHL and then do what you did tonight?
Yeah, like I said, it's a pretty special moment. It's kind of hard to put into words. Like I said, just a really good group of guys that were very welcoming. And, they made it easy on me. They made some really good plays. You know, Petro with that great play and Coley screening, they make it pretty easy. So, yeah, really, really, really cool.
Where's the puck going?
I think I'll give it to my family and send it home with them. So, yeah, send it home.
Is that going to give a new meaning to the Silicon Valley for you now?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Some memories that I won't soon forget. So, yeah.
You get the goal in the first period, assist in the second. Were you looking for anyone to drop the gloves with in the third?
Yeah, that's what some of the guys were saying. I wasn't really looking too much, just kind of letting the game come to me. But, again, really special moment and really, really thankful.
And that was Mason Morelli. You can hear the one of the interviewers in the background. That was the scrum around his locker. Was Gordon Weigers, who runs the social media sites for the VGK. But he asked, were you looking for anyone to drop the gloves with for the Gordie Howe hat trick? It almost made me think of the Stadium Series, the Ranger Islander game. Matt Rempe is 6'7". He got into a fight like 1 second into his NHL career.
Record time.
And it, from the sounds of it, it was that Matt Martin went up to him. Matt Martin, who's been a veteran tough guy in this league for a long time, and asked him, almost as a courtesy, almost like, hey, kid, you get your feet wet? Do you want one? Really? Great. Thanks.
Yeah.
Like, I would have wondered if anyone in San Jose came over to Mo and just said, hey, do you need one?
Yeah, just want to, you know, get the Gordie Howe hat trick right off the rip. That might be a good stat. You know, has anyone ever had a Gordie Howe hat trick in their debut? I might have flipped that one up.
It'd be somewhere in the almanac. But, you know, just hearing Mason talk, I think he might have made mention of it in his conversation with Dan in the pregame. I'm trying to remember exactly where I heard the bite, but he talked a little bit about where he got the news that he was going up.
Yep.
I was standing 15 feet away. We were in San Diego, and Ryan Craig brings the entire team in and just makes the announcement in front of the entire group that Mo's going up. And, of course, for the entire team, they know how exciting that is for Mason Morelli. And, you know, part of it is, oh, it's such a long journey to get to the NHL. Absolutely, yes. But at the same time, it's also not as though the NHL was a foregone conclusion either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the ultimate goal. He had an NHL contract, so, of course, hopeful that that would happen. But, mm-hmm. you know, Mason Morelli lives in the moment and is one of the best examples of what Ryan Craig talks about of be where your feet are and focus on the task at hand and don't worry about what might be at the end of the rainbow. But for Mason Morelli to get that news at the age of 28, every single player lined up to shake his hand, give him a hug, all smiles, but Mason Morelli was beaming, controlling himself.
Hard to in that moment.
You could just tell the backflips that his heart was making inside his chest as he was getting his send-off. And it just reminds you sometimes that you'll see players that go up and down regularly, and it's part of their routine. And, you know, every NHL opportunity is a great opportunity. But when you see someone who's waited that long to get it and finally does and didn't know for sure that it would ever come and that they're getting that chance, and just to see that kind of restrained joy, just knowing that he's trying to play it cool, but
yeah.
he's excited. It just reminds us of, gosh, how cool it is, how special mm-hmm. it is to get a chance to go at all. And it's so cool to see that in person and that the team also recognized that.
Yeah, you know, trying to restrain himself. It was kind of like his teammates were able to celebrate for him and just kind of bring out all that emotion that he didn't want to get too into by, you know, just in that moment. And, you know, every step of the way, like you said, just kind of be where your feet are. He slowly but surely worked his way up. I'm sure when he signed that NHL two-way deal here with Vegas, that thought, of course, entered his mind, okay, you know, I might get an opportunity here. But this is also a guy that it wasn't okay, it's time for him to go up. It's, no, you've earned your opportunity to go up. You've worked hard. You're the right fit for what we need right now with our team. And he showed it. He went up there, and he was perfect on that fourth line, contributed a goal and an assist, and well-deserved opportunity.
As you mentioned, we'll see, you know, they might want to see more because he's played pretty well for two straight games. One last thought on the topic because I do think it is interesting. This year, what we've seen, there's been a lot of players who have had a chance to go up and contribute. We've seen Brendan Brisson score his first NHL goal, Lucas Cormier get his first NHL point. Exciting and rewarding in their own right. And at the same time, okay, these are the young prospects. These are guys that fans are excited about. You expect them to be at some point pushing for that kind of a role. Caden Korzak the same.
Mm-hmm.
You have your Jonas Rombjergs and Byron Frazes who have kind of been these platoon up and down. This is their routine. This is their role. This is their job. Again, anytime anyone goes up, it's great for them. But at the same time, and Byron Frazes played a lot of NHL hockey.
Yeah.
There's a workmanlike approach to that. Good in its own right. When you look at Mason Morelli and Sheldon Rempel, who had opportunities in the NHL, Sheldon Rempel, but not a ton, cups of coffee up and down, you have two players who have both scored their first NHL goal this season at the age of 28. Two guys who have scored their first NHL goal at 28 years old. That is a phenomenal example, I think, to any player who is in minor hockey. Heck, even if you're a junior player hoping to go to college someday and you're 17 mm-hmm. and they're not sniffing yet, it's not going to work for everybody. But there is a demonstration that if you stick to it, do your job, don't just hang around. If you stick to it, do your job, improve, and seize opportunity, there are still rewards out there. The fact that two guys have played very, very well here and gotten their first goal at the NHL level at the age of 28, I think is amazing to me.
Yeah, tremendous. And again, you know, we on our radio broadcast with the VGK had Zach Whitecloud on after that San Jose game, and he talked a little bit about how it's bringing the right bringing the right people in first and then getting the hockey to figure everything out later. And if you have the right people in the organization, the hockey will figure itself out. And he included Mason in that group to say, this is a guy that immediately when he came into the room, we knew he had the right fit with us, the right character to be on this team, and we knew the hockey would figure itself out.
Great for Mason Morelli, great for the VGK, and for the Silver Knights. Every player who's gone up has made a seismic contribution. That goes back between the pipes, Yuri Patera as well. It's been significant. But now the Silver Knights certainly hopeful that those that are here are able to make just as big an impact this weekend against the Colorado Eagles at Blue Arena, because that is who the Silver Knights have next up. Well, Silver Knights fans, we remind you, as the road trip is ending soon, home hockey at the Dollar Loan Center is returning soon, but there's a lot coming at the Dollar Loan Center in the weeks and months ahead. High-flying, heart-pumping indoor football league action is back with the Vegas Nighthawks, and they're ready to kick off season number 3 with a bang. Whether you're looking to entertain clients, reward your employees, or celebrate a special day with family and friends, we have the hospitality package for you. Single-game luxury suite packages and group ticketing options for Nighthawks football are now on sale, starting at just $18. Contact the group ticketing team at 702-645-4259, 702-645-4259, or visit nighthawksfootball.com. We will step out, and when we come back, more of the HSK. And, you know, we've talked a lot about the individuals who have been pushing things for the Silver Knights, but right now what's really keeping them in the hunt is that their special teams over the last month might be the best in the American Hockey League, if not, they're right up there. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we return on HSK Today. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you on 1230 The Game, the Silver Knights Radio Network.
I'll answer the question. You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle
Brian McCormick.
Here we go. Brian McCormick, Justin Russo here with you. Henderson Silver Knights, the final two games of their February 6-game road trip coming this weekend in Colorado. Silver Knights have split the first four, which pretty successful. But more work to be done. When the Silver Knights come back home, there's plenty of home hockey in March, and that includes one of the dates on the calendar I'm sure fans are most excited about. The force is strong with the Silver Knights as they prepare for an intergalactic showdown with the Abbotsford Canucks. That's going to be March 9th, Star Wars Night at the Dollar Loan Center. Time to forge the Jedi Knight. Get your tickets today for Star Wars Night. And visit hendersonsilverknights.com. Justin, are you a big Star Wars guy?
Not a huge Star Wars guy. I have seen all the movies, so I have gotten that down, but not a super fan by any means.
Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I have a lot of homework to do in that area. I saw the the original three from the 70s. I saw those roundabouts 1997. They were fine. I liked them, I suppose, but I didn't get back to them.
Got to get to the prequels now.
I've got a lot of homework to do to be able to speak knowledgeably on this during the. How can I work puns seamlessly in and out of the broadcast if I'm not up to speed?
Well, safe to say, I'll cover you in that regard because I have seen all of them and I am a Star Wars fan.
Oh, there you go.
Thank
Joe's
you, Joe.
Got it.
Thank you, Joe. I was going to say, in the George Lucas universe, have Indiana Jones night. I'm good. I'm there. Let's do it. But I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared for Star Wars. What would the jersey look like for Indiana Jones night? Can you do like a leather jacketish kind of thing with a satchel?
Safety wise, taking the helmets off for hats would make sense. Like
have to hatterize the helmets.
Yeah, you have to find some way to do that. I don't know how we would clear that with everyone that needs to be cleared with. But
would Harrison Ford come to Indiana Jones night?
Well, he better. If he's not coming, we're not having it.
Harrison can't come, but Shia LaBeouf can. Done.
All right, we'll take it.
Keep your eyes shut. Well, Star Wars night, March 9th. Make sure you come down and hang out with us. We look forward to it. Looking to the Silver Knights road ahead, you know, a little history going in the AHL right now. I'm sure everyone's aware of it.
Oh, yeah.
The Milwaukee Admirals have won 17 in a row. That is tied for the second longest winning streak in AHL history. The Adirondack Phantoms at the time in 2004-05, and then in 2018-19, which is really not long ago at all, the Bakersfield Condors. As a matter of fact, just quick type this in to make sure I'm not making things up. I'm 99% sure I know the answer, but I just want to make sure I don't lie to you people. Of course not. Tyler Benson was – that was his rookie season. Tyler Benson was on the 17-win Bakersfield Condors team, so we're going to have to ask him about that over the next couple of days. But the record – Milwaukee is tied for second with 17. The record is the 2011-12 Norfolk Admirals, which basically was all the seedlings of the current Tampa Bay Lightning dynasty and John Cooper.
Shocker.
But it is interesting that the Admirals are chasing the Admirals, which is shame on us that the record isn't held by the Omaha Axarben Knights. Otherwise, we would be tied by destiny and have no choice but to have a 28-game winning streak of our own. But that is certainly something to keep an eye on.
And, you know, what we talked about earlier with the Firebirds and the Silver Knights kind of running into them, you can kind of chalk it up as, oh, you're running into a hot team. I think we can look back on the couple of games against Milwaukee and say, you know what, that was a pretty hot team at the time the Silver Knights ran into. And, you know, one thing that I think is so funny about their win streak is that they've won all these games in a row, 69 points. They're still 11 behind the Hershey Bears for the league lead. That's how good Hershey has been this year. They are 39-9-2. 80 points with an 800 winning percentage. It's just incredible the season they're having, not to take away from currently what Milwaukee's doing.
You're absolutely the kind of head start that Hershey had, and again, Hershey just also, they're not losing. They haven't won 17 in a row, but I haven't looked. They probably won 13 in that span.
Yeah.
They're just a team that's winning. So if you're curious, if you're wondering, the Silver Knights do see Milwaukee again. And in their chase for history, the Silver Knights are in Milwaukee on the 23rd and 24th of March. Where does that align with the chase for 28? Well, if the Admirals are still unbeaten at that point, the Silver Knights are not in risk of being the team that that record is broken against. But they're close. If Milwaukee is still unbeaten at that time, the Silver Knights would be the 30th and 31st games on that streak.
Ah, okay.
So Silver Knights are out of reach of being on the business end of history. But if Milwaukee is still going, just know that at that point we'll be looking at a 31-game winning streak for the Milwaukee Admirals.
Well, I mean,
if they're not due for a loss now, they'll certainly be due by then.
HSK can always make a call down the street to the VGK. They know how to end some streaks. 16-game win streak for the Edmonton Oilers gone when they came to T-Mobile Arena. So I fully expect probably a weekend sweep on that for the Silver Knights. I'll just pencil that in right now.
That's the end of March, and we'll update the numbers as we get closer to that, but certainly unbelievable to see what Milwaukee is doing right now. For the Silver Knights, again, they've had some 5-on-5 trouble this year, and Ryan Craig said over the weekend that he'd like to start seeing the special team success translate to 5-on-5. It would change the results a lot. But the special teams of the Silver Knights have been outstanding. They are first overall in the American Hockey League on the power play, and they've now climbed back into the top 10 on the penalty kill, which has also now killed off, I want to say, 20 of the last 22.
Yeah, and you know, it was really impressive over the weekend. I believe it was the Coachella Valley game where they had the major penalty, the four-minute power play they had to kill off, and then they had the regular power play they had to kill off. The penalty kill was excellent in that game, killing off all kinds of different penalties.
And a Mason Gertsen shorthanded goal.
Exactly, yeah. So they were really getting it going on that one. But, yeah, I mean, the power play has been excellent for this season for the HSK. And, you know, Ryan Craig has talked about, you know, we don't want to rely on the power play. We need to get our 5-on-5 game going because we can't have our only scoring on the power play. And, you know, I think we saw that a couple of times ago, early in January, when the Silver Knights played the Firebirds, and they only got contributions on the power play, and they lost 4-3 in that game at the Dollar Loan Center. So they need that 5-on-5 scoring to supplement it, and certainly, hey, ride the power play while it's hot, though.
Colorado has the 10th-ranked power play in the American Hockey League. Their penalty kill is 4th, so that's going to be a good special teams battle this weekend at Blue Arena. But for a Colorado team that, as we mentioned, has won 8 of its last 10, playing really good hockey right now, you look up and down their score, their roster for scoring, pretty well spread out right now. Brad Hunt is probably the most dangerous weapon, but there's a lot of talent that the Silver Knights need to be aware of for Colorado.
And that's what makes them so tough, is that you can't really hone in on one line. It has to be rolling four lines. You have to be ready to go anytime any of their 12 forwards are on the ice. And, you know, there's a ton of good puck-moving defensemen in this division that the Silver Knights frequently have to face, and Brad Hunt amongst them. We'll see how they handle him this weekend.
Silver Knights will have work to do, and it will all start on Friday night at Blue Arena. Silver Knights dropping the puck at 6:05 Pacific time. Pre-game coverage with Justin Russo at 5:30. And if you're wondering what happened to talking with Tim Speltz, Tim Speltz, unfortunately unable to join us this afternoon. Duty called, understandably.
Busy
so,
man.
As the team gets set to go on the road. But again, Silver Knights Friday night in Colorado to take on the Eagles. 6:05 puck drop, 5:30 pregame with Justin Russo right here. Oh, pardon me. It'll be on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
On Friday,
on
yes.
On Friday. So make sure you hop over there to join us for Silver Knights hockey. I'm Brian McCormick. He's Justin Russo. The other him you can't see is Joe Costa. This has been HSK Today. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week right here on 12:30 The Game, the Silver Knights Radio Network.